Welcome to the Bull and Hawk Sports Show. I am CG Hawk, co-host of the podcast. This is very exciting for us, this segment. We are debuting the first Chicago Fire FC recap for the 2022 season. This is great news. The Chicago Fire made their debut last Saturday versus Inter Miami. Good game overall, though the Fire only came away with a draw. We'll take a draw on the road any day. As you know, the Fire in the past years have been notorious for being one of the worst squads and winning on the road in the MLS. So if we can get draws and some more wins, I'll take that as a fan any day. So let's get down to recapping the game and then a quick preview for the upcoming match after that. I'll give some of my thoughts about how the Fire looked, how they can improve, and let's begin. This game took place in Miami, home of Inter Miami, Chicago Fire, and Miami's season opener. This was a fun one. I had not seen Inter Miami before on TV, so this was my first time seeing them on the big screen. And they had some good talent, good players on the squad. So let's begin with first Miami's starting 11. Then we'll do your Chicago Fire's starting 11 after. So first for Miami, in goal, they have the veteran Clement Diop. In defense, they have Christopher McVay, Damian Lowe, and Jairo Quinteros. That is their back line. Then for midfielders, they have brand new signee, Noah Allen, Mo Adams, Gregorio de Mendes Silva, John Mota Oliveira de Souza, and DeAndre Yedlin. It's interesting to see DeAndre Yedlin back. As you know, he came on the scene a long time ago for Seattle Sounders and haven't been seen in MLS in a while, but this was DeAndre Ledland's first match back in MLS debut for Miami. Then finally, forwards, we have Leonardo Campagna, and we have probably one of the best players on the team, in my opinion, Gonzalo Higuain. That is the starting 11 for Phil Neville's squad. Next, for the Chicago Fire, our starting 11 is as follows. First, this is a big moment for him, for our goalkeeper, Gaga Slavina. He is now the starter for the club. Last year, he played here and there in relief of Bobby Shuttlesworth. But now Gaga is the permanent starter. He's the main man for the Fire. And this is such a big responsibility for a guy who's only 18 years old. He's so young. But he was very impressive down the stretch last year for us with a number of shutouts and great performances. And I think he's ready. And I don't want to spoil anything, but he showed in this match that he indeed is ready. Next, for defense, we have Boris Sekulic, Wyatt Amsberg, brand new signee making his debut, Rafael Chihos. Then we have Miguel Navarro. And last two midfielders we have are Mauricio Pineda. And this guy, I think for me, he's got to step up. He's got to be what they envisioned when he became a DP designated player. And there's a lot of pressure on him. There are some people who believed he should have been cut or gotten rid of last season when the season concluded. But he's been given our second chance. Let's see if Gaston Jimenez can impress and show why he deserves to be on the club. Next we have, for more midfielders, we have Fabian Herbers, the veteran. Jerdan Shaqiri making his debut. First game is a member of the Fire. And finally, Stanislav Ivanov. And then for forwards, just one brand new signee from the Philadelphia Union, Kasper Sabilko. So that is the Fire starting 11. And one thing to note, very interesting, a lot of these guys are brand new faces. Rafael Sihos, Jerdan Shaqiri, Kasper Sabilko, these guys are making their debut, new faces, and it's going to be interesting to see how they can fit in with the club, and I think they all fit in very well in the first game in their debuts. And for our bench, we have John Duran, Burks, Javier Casas, Federico Navarro, who would have started most likely, but he had a little bit of a cramp, a little bit of a slight injury, so he did not start. Johnny Bornstein, Brian Gutierrez, Chisto Ofor, John Espinoza, and Richie in goal. So that was our bench. And overall, the Fire, I was impressed with how we got off to a good start. We definitely took it to Miami early on. We had fantastic possession. We dominated possession, had more chances than Miami in the first half. Some of the biggest chances that could have happened that could have changed the trajectory of the match. One of them was early on. There's actually a goal opportunity by Kasper Sabilko super early on. It could have been 1-0 Fire, like 1 minute in. But alas, was not to be. And another one that was big was in the 10th minute for Miami when Leonardo Campagna had an excellent header off a Gonzalo Higuain cross. But Leonardo Campagna's header hit the crossbar and did not go in the net. So that was a big one that could have put Miami on the board, but thank goodness Campagna was just a little bit off. And he had a lot of chances. He and Gonzalo Higuain played well together. And Campagna, if he had taken advantage of the multiple opportunities he had, it could have been a different story. But I think he was just a little bit rusty. And he seemed a little off when he was trying to finish off the chances. But he had chances. So I guess if you're an Inter Miami fan, that's a good for you. You're excited about the connection between those two strikers. And another huge moment came in the 32nd minute for the Fire. This was a fantastic chance. It could have been our chance. We could have gotten on the board. When Kasper Sabilko had an excellent feed, he passed it one to Stanislav Ivanov. Ivanov, with his right foot, kicked it to the left side of the net. Oh, just inches from being 1-0. And Clément Diop was nowhere to be seen. He could not have reached the ball in time. There was no way that even if he had flopped on the floor or completely stretched himself out to the max, no way could have he defended it. But Ivanov was just a little bit off, so kept it at 0-0. That was our best chance early on. That could have been a huge moment, but I want to say I was impressed with Ivanov. I didn't know he was going to start, to be honest. I didn't know what his role would be on the club. But with brand new star Jerzy Shaqiri and Kasper Sabilko, there's a lot of great passes and chances given to Ivanov. One of the reasons for that was because Inter Miami, rightly, wanted to double up Shaqiri. They wanted to make sure that Shaqiri had to pass, had to find his teammates. They didn't want him to be able to get some huge goals. So with him being doubled up, he needed to find his fellow teammates. And he did find Ivanov on multiple occasions, but Ivanov was not able to get it in the back of net, which was a bummer. And after that, both teams managed to lock it down defensively. There was not really any goal-scoring opportunity for either club. They made some substitutions both sides. Federico Navarro came in later for us, which was good to see him. And he looked fine overall. I want to give credit to a youngster who came in. We had two youngsters come in. Brian Gutierrez come in. But I want to give a lot of credit to John Duran. He looked very good. From what I've heard from the Intercontinental Podcast and more who follow the MLS, John Duran, there's a lot of hope for him as a youngster, and he has a lot of energy. Looks like he could definitely make a name for himself in MLS. And I want to give a lot of credit to John Duran and his debut match this season. Looked very good. He had a lot of energy. He came on hot, and he made some opportunities out of nothing, which is what I want to see from youngsters on the club. Now for the big picture. That was our debut on the season. These guys are making their debuts for us. A lot of these guys, completely different mindset, completely different strategy and roster and starting 11 format, because we have a brand new coach. He made his season debut, Ezra Hendrickson. And I want to say, I really liked his game plan. I thought it was the right one. And I'm really happy with the hiring of Ezra Hendrickson. And I think he did a good job in his debut. There's some things he can work on, but overall, he did a good job with choosing the starting 11. And he did a good job with substitutions later on. They definitely, especially John Duran, that helped us try to get Miami off foot and maybe take a 1-0 lead, but that never happens. But we got the draw, 0-0 draw, and I'll take that. So good job by Ezra Hendrickson and the team. And according to MLS.com, they're giving man of the match to our goalie, Gaga Salina. And I would say, I definitely think he could be a guy who'd give man of the match to. He had a lot of good saves. And I would give man of the match to Jirjan Shaqiri. He had a good first debut. Guys off the bench who played well, John Duran. Brian Gutierrez was totally good. And I guess if you have to look at guys who maybe need to improve for next game, one I would say would be Miguel Navarro. And Miguel Navarro on defense, he had some gaffes. There were some mistakes that Navarro had that could have led to tragedy. But luckily he was bailed out by the rest of the defense and by Gaga. So Miguel Navarro, his mistakes didn't cost us. But he can't keep having mistakes along those lines throughout the season. So hopefully he can adjust and fix his early season mistakes. Oh, and our last moment I want to discuss, it was a big moment, was there was a penalty opportunity with Miguel Navarro. One of the players on Inter Miami was battling with Miguel Navarro. And it looked like from the first glance, the cameras and the refs, they went with it, that Miguel Navarro tripped the Miami player in the zone. It was going to be a penalty opportunity. But good goodness, they looked at VAR, looked at all the angles, and it showed multiple angles on WGM, Tyler Terrence. And they definitely said it was not a penalty, and I agreed after seeing it in multiple angles. To be honest, it looked like the Miami player just flopped. He just was not touched by Miguel Navarro, and then he fell on the floor and tried to make a little bit of acting, try to make it look like a penalty. But VAR said no. The refs gave the guy a yellow card, the Miami player, for simulation. I agreed with that. So that was good to see. I do have my gripes with VAR. Occasionally here and there, they make huge mistakes, in my opinion. Wrong calls. But in this case, it was the right call, and I was glad to see it as a Fire fan. So that's our recap of our debut against Inter Miami. Now a little bit of preview of the upcoming game. On March 5th at 5 p.m. Central Time, the Fire making their home debut at Soldier Field against Orlando City. This is going to be a huge match. There's a lot of hype. It's the 25th anniversary A lot of hype for the Fire with our brand new guys, Shakiri, Sibilko, Chijos, and more. And fun fact, DJ Ben the Bull and I and my family, we're going to this match. So we're going to see the Fire's home opener against Orlando City. Super excited. Another fact, I've been to a lot of sporting events during my life, but I'm pretty certain this is my first ever home opener for any professional league. The only other option I could think of could have been going to a San Jose Giants home opener. That's probably the only other one I would have said I could have been to a home opener, because not been to any Major League Baseball home openers, basketball home openers, hockey home openers, soccer home openers. So I'm pretty sure it's my first one. So that's going to be exciting. And also exciting, too, to see all these stars in Orlando City, because this is going to complete DJ Ben and the Bullseye double. Last season, we saw the Orlando Pride and Chicago Red Stars. So this time, we're going to see Fire and Orlando City. So we're going to complete both Orlando soccer clubs. Get to see them in person. That's cool. That's a cool, interesting fact to mention. And also, if you go to this match at Soldier Field, if you're one of the first 10,000 fans, they're giving out 25th season anniversary flags, which that's going to be exciting. And thank you for listening to this week's recap of Chicago Fire's season debut and preview of their home debut against Orlando City. Have a good rest of your week, and see you next time on the Bull and Hawk Sports Show. Welcome back to the Bull and Hawk Sports Show. We are continuing on with our coverage of your Chicago Fire!
FC.
For episode 94. So let's get into it. We finished recapping the Fire's match versus Inter Miami. I almost said Inter Milan there, but they got us, I caught myself. And we did a little bit of preview for their match versus Orlando City. And DJ Benibol and I are now going to do the lineups for the game. And we actually went to this game, the home opener for the Fire, which was a fun experience, and we're going to get into it right now.
Yes, it's DJ Benny. I'm back, and we will begin with the starting 11 for the Orlando City SC visiting squad. At goal, we have Pedro Gillespie.
The next Ja Morant. No, we say that because he has hair like him.
Same hairstyle, yeah, as him. And for the defenders, João Moutinho. Next is...
Sorry for a bit Rodrigo. Of delay. We're not well-versed in their roster yet.
Rodrigo Schlegel. Next is Antonio Carlos.
That's a good name.
To round off, we have Ruan. And at the midfield, Junior Urso. And then your next midfielder, Cesar Araujo. And continue with Benji Michelle. Then Mauricio Pereira. And then Facundo Torres. This is the first we've heard of such a name. Very
cool unique, name, though.
Very cool and unique. As all of our names were. And last but not least, their forward Alexander Pato.
Yes, that is the starting 11 for Orlando City, which was in a 4-2-3-1 formation. Now, the lineup for your Chicago Fire FC. We want to say FC because if you go on Google search and type in Chicago Fire, they don't like us, so they're going to give you the Chicago Fire TV show. No, we're talking about soccer.
They don't differentiate between the two. Okay. At least they very much do. But
yeah. So now for the lineups. First, in goal, number one, Gaga.
AKA Gabriel Solina.
And for defense, we have number two, Boris Sekulic. Number 20, Wyatt Omsberg. Fun fact, he's 6'4", and also my mom's sister, who were at the game with us, both really liked Wyatt Omsberg.
Singled him out.
How he played, and they singled him out, like DJ Benningbull said.
For some reason.
Next, we have brand new from the Bundesliga, number 5, Rafael Chijos. And finally, rounding out the defense, we have number 6, Miguel Navarro. Now for midfielders, we have number 22, Mauricio Pineda.
Yeah, I'm glad he's back.
Me too. Glad he's back.
Return.
And number 30, Gaston Jimenez.
For him too.
Yeah, hopefully he can improve.
Yeah.
I said that last segment I did on this. They hopefully can improve, so let's see if he does. And for midfielders, we have number 99,
Stanislav
Ivanov. Number 10, Jaden Shaqiri, making his Chicago Fire debut at Soldier Field.
Very much anticipated.
Yep. There were a lot of fans screaming Shaqiri. There's some Shaqiri jerseys.
Yeah. Ones that are walking behind us on the way to the game, as well as once again behind us as we're sitting down.
Oh, yeah. There's this one guy who kept being like, Shaqiri, like every minute.
Come on, Big Shaq.
Yeah, he said that multiple times.
Yeah.
And finally, last midfielder we have is number 21, Fabian Herbers.
Fabian Herbers.
And finally, our striker, the forward, the main offensive threat, hopefully, number 11, Kasper Sabilko.
Very unique last name. I would not.
Yeah, unique Polish last name.
That Polish pronunciation.
Oh no! The first time I saw it, I was at a loss. Yeah. I had to look it up.
So once again, please say it.
So Kasper Sabilko.
Sabilko.
Yep.
Got it. It should stick now.
Yeah, we'll do it multiple times. Don't worry.
And hopefully to our listeners too.
And might as well do this Chicago Fire bench because we'll probably talk about some of these guys later. Yeah. First, goalkeeper. I do not know his name. Just that it's Richie, but I don't know his first name, though. If not, it's okay. Then for defense, we have re-signed long-time Chicago Fire member, Jonathan Bornstein.
Yeah, so he's a backup goalkeeper.
Oh, Spencer.
That's okay. Right. He's brand new as well.
Then we have forward Chiso Orfer.
Chinosa.
And we have defender. Is it Johan?
Johan.
Is it Johan Espinoza or is it John?
Who is John?
Is it John Espinoza?
That's right. John around the dot. I was ready to say Jonathan.
Then we have
it just happens since
midfielder Brian Gutierrez.
Yeah, and we also had some that were behind us.
Well
behind us. Also hype them up as well, multiple times.
Hopefully, it can be good.
That's like, let's go, Guti.
Yep,
Guti.
We have forward John Duran.
Duran.
Defender. Burks, is it Kendall?
Kendall, that's
Kendall
correct.
Kendall Burks.
That's correct.
Midfielder, Javier Casas.
Casas.
And finally, midfielder, Federico Navarro.
That's right. That one's very memorable.
Yeah. And that rounds out your Chicago Fire bench, starting 11, coached by Ezra Hendrickson.
Yes. Welcome home to his new home, Ezra. He looks like a promising, leader for our squad.
I think so. And this was a fun match, at least like how it went down. The match itself probably wasn't that fantastic, but this was Chicago Fire's home opener. They had around 25,000 fans in attendance, according to statistics that I found. And we got some giveaways that they handed out. They handed out two flags, one blue, one red, which is for the Chicago Fire's 25th anniversary.
Yeah, and I also had the design on the emblem saying 25th anniversary. So that was a nice touch to that. And not like your last Fire FC flag that we ironically got from last time.
Well, that one did have writing on it. It just did like Chicago Fire. That's it, was right. Just the emblem.
Yeah. I was afraid that it wasn't going to say anything else.
Yeah, the first game I went to for the Fire against Philadelphia Union last May, they gave out flags too, but it was just a red flag with nothing on it.
Yeah.
So just, I don't think I have that one. I think I threw it away.
Yeah, otherwise we could have, which we didn't have time to do up until 4:30 before kickoff, is the starting lineup ceremonies.
And yeah.
As well as a possible meet and greet with a Fire FC legend.
So. And they also had a torch going outside, which was cool.
Brand new tradition. And I believe that's what they meant about,
I think so,
starting one. And it was it was the legend, whoever it was. I guess we didn't get to really see.
No.
They're the ones who did it. So that's cool.
And there were some other traditions, like going to want to start the season. And one thing I enjoyed was we got there pretty much like a little bit before the national anthem, like a little bit before, like right there in our seats. And it was a mariachi band who did the national anthem.
I love that.
Which is cool. I like that.
Yeah. Especially if you're going to be broadcast on, Telemundo Chicago,
right,
or Unimas.
Yeah.
One of those, you're going to want to actually cater to your fan base and kind of get people interested in it, just across the board too. I know there's a lot of fans who are not Mexican descent who also enjoy, I enjoy that type of music. It gives that party atmosphere.
And speaking of Telemundo Unimas, I actually saw, when we were going to our seats, a reporter for, I'm not sure if it was Unimas or Telemundo. I think it was Telemundo. And he was talking.
You overheard him. He was on the mic.
Yeah. It had, I think it had the red T on his mic. So it must have been Telemundo.
I got that impression too, that it were they just standing in the middle, like, of the sea by the crowd?
Yeah, it looked like he was going to get into the crowd.
Oh.
But he was just standing off, like, the side.
Oh, the one that was, like, right next to the ketchup condiments table.
Right there, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And speaking of another reporter, the Bulldog Sports Show almost could have been on live ABC Chicago affiliate, but we graciously denied.
Because we declined.
The reporter wanted to talk about...
Well, CJ ultimately made the decision.
Well, I couldn't do it. He was wanted to talk about
executive call.
Sports betting, and my knowledge of sports betting is very little. So
that was almost an instant cringe, if you will. Like, we're like, oh, out of all topics.
I know.
You want to talk about
this. Couldn't you talk about something like, how are you feeling for the first match of the year? Yeah, like,
right.
Or are you excited to see Shaqiri? Something like that would have been like, okay, I could talk about that. But sports betting, no.
Yeah, I also actually made a joke that, like, because not but MGM, because that's one of the It's the one that you meant, PointsBet, right?
Right,
PointsBet. It's like, oh, you know, because Paige Spiranak is the spokesperson for that. And I think of her as kind of like weird in a way, because she's like a golfer that's retired or whatnot, but I don't know what the real history is. But that's basically her, and basically models and does this kind of things now. And so I joked that, like, oh, they thought that we would simp for Paige.
Oh god.
by signing up for that. Oh. So they're probably gonna ask us specifically if we placed our bets through PointsBet. I'm like,
I'll do DraftKings.
This girl is like around my age. It's like, I don't know why she's doing this. I'm like, I actually would trust DraftKings a little more, because Jessie Cofield, I know she's been doing it for a while and not just, you know, showing themselves in a way that's like trying to entice people, you know. So
yeah, so almost got on the news, and then I didn't. And I'm kind of glad I decided not to do it, because I can talk about multiple things. I could have, like, weaved a nice sentence or two, but I don't know enough about sports betting to make any.
Yeah. We got plenty of comments. Fantasy drafting,
I can do that. But
league, fantasy league, we could definitely do that. But they decided to do that. And we don't run out of things to really say. So, like, we always got something we could easily say. I mean, we're on right now, as we speak. So we could have easily gave our 2 cents in different ways.
Probably not the answer he was hoping for. He probably would have hoped, like, oh, I love points bet, or I love sports betting. That's right. I do it every
cheap
game.
Cheap plug.
Do it every game. But
I hope that's not the way it goes next game.
Is my answer, if he asks, like, do you do sports betting, I'd say no, and that'd be it.
I do now, not.
Not.
Please don't cloud my judgment. Oh,
gosh. All right. Now to the game itself. There wasn't a ton of chances for either side. There was some misses early on. For example, in the 18th minute, Stanislav Ivanov, who's been getting some good opportunities now that we have Shaqiri, Sabilko, and Ivanov's been taking advantage. He hasn't scored yet, which is a bummer, but he has had opportunities. He had a nice curling effort, but Pedro Galese was able to make a huge stop, and that was, to me, gone. And another opportunity for the Fire was in the 85th minute, close to the end, when there was a header opportunity by Kasper Sabilko. This was a good header. He hit it pretty strong, but it was just a little too hard, as I remember. It went over the net, I think.
Too strong. That's right. Yeah. It's usually that's what occurs. Usually later in the game, these moments. The Fire have not been known to score in a way that, you know, where it's grounded and can catch the goalkeeper off guard. It's we're not that sort of team. You can make some comparisons to, like, Manchester City, which they're very good at being able to get those surprise goals, but we're not, like, I guess, calculated enough to be able to do that. We definitely have to work on our shooting. And passing as well.
I agree. Transitioning, those were the Fire's really only two, like, real chances. They had some shots, of course, but those were the only two that, like, you legit thought maybe there's opportunity. But for big moments of the game, this was definitely the moment of the game. In the 73rd minute, close to the end, there was an opportunity for Orlando City. And how it went down was Junior Urso had a long range shot that was able to be deflected past the defense, and Gaga guessed wrong. He decided to what's the word?
Like, choose the wrong side.
Yeah, wrong side, and he dived to the wrong side, and it was missed. And Orlando City thought they had got the 1-0 lead. Potential game winner. The players were dancing. The goalie was dancing. Everyone was like going berserk.
It was so fast, I didn't even see.
I know, I didn't even see. It was so fast.
Yeah, I didn't see it going whatsoever. And it was kind of a blur.
The five Orlando City fans were screaming and like they were going crazy.
Yeah.
But after
like a Matrix
movie. The dust settled, there was a huge, lengthy video review.
VAR, that's right.
Yep.
Instant replay, if you will.
Yeah. And second game in a row, actually, for the Fire that there's been a video review. This one, the referee, after some comments by Gaga and Fire Ezra Hendrickson, they looked at VAR and found that Yurkan Kara handled the ball, so a handball. And when we watched the game, it was hard to tell. We couldn't even see on the big screen what happened, really. It was too far away. Because we were in the fourth row in section 115, but the action was on the other side of the pitch, so we were unable to see, really, what was going on. We thought it was an offsides, maybe, because this happened pretty often. But this was a handball, and after watching a replay on MLS.com, I could tell that, oh yeah, it was indeed a handball, and they called it. So, 0-0.
Incredible.
And that was the final score. 0-0. And
yeah, there was some moments that like I thought was uncalled for, that the way that City SC was acting.
I agree.
Especially that weird moment when one of ours was down and we're thinking maybe is, you know, scrapping his knee. It was a possible injury, you know, could be taken out. Because that took like a good like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, which is why I had 6 minutes where CJ Hawk was predicting, and I agreed with a minimum of 4 minutes added, but they actually were generous and added six. Ironically, the same later in that day, Charlotte FC game, their first ever
home game
record setting, 70,000. They had six in stoppage time as well. So they gave us that, and this Orlando player was just putting his arms up and kind of celebrating.
Yeah, I didn't like that guy.
And
I didn't know who that was, but I didn't like
him. Yeah, definitely. And he looked like he was,
one of the defenders or something.
Himself, yeah. Yeah, I don't know what that was. It's just unsportsmanlike.
Yeah.
You know? And
did he get a yellow card for that or no?
He might have.
There was some yellow cards.
There's some that had to do with that, yeah. It looked like it was given to us, and then it was like, oh, actually to them. And also, we got their goalkeeper, Next Ja. he also got one, too.
Yeah.
Because he was messing with us and wasting time when
well
he was
deserved.
Ready to kick the ball out.
Yeah, because that was late in the game. Like, it wasn't stoppage time, I think.
Yeah, and massive booze.
And I know I don't want to like say that he did it on purpose, but most likely the coach Oscar Pereira had that as the plan to kill time.
Yeah, because he looked like he was ready to do it.
Yeah,
he was ready to go, but he actually held off for a good while. So
and
it erupted. A wave started.
Yeah.
Which you counted was close to 50.
It was not. It was like five.
Yeah, it was five waves. Like, you're like, oh, we're not used to this. Yeah, that's right. Usually it's like, you know, after two, three, maybe at max, people just give up. But this was, you know, it was the crowd was raucous, which was a good thing. And, you know, got us to get up a few times. I guess we're kind of sick and tired of you know, part of the game, I guess, frustrated with how, you know, City was acting, you know, with the yellow card. So I guess we needed to kind of like, you know, refresh and have everyone stand up. So.
And finally, to conclude our coverage of this match, MLS.com, I like how they set up the recaps. They do a good job. they mentioned big picture, moment of the match, man of the match. And man of the match, they gave it to Rafael Chijos,
yeah.
A brand new defender. And honestly, I don't have any gripes with that. I would think he does deserve man of the match.
That's right.
He was excellent in neutralizing Alexander Pato.
Yeah, he basically left us, you know, in good hands. Like, he definitely led the defense, as it was
captain.
Very good, which is why you saw it being, you know, didn't let any goals in. So credit to him and all of our defenders and midfielders for being stars for that day.
Yeah, so. Overall, our defense was good. Offense needs some work.
Right.
The passing was okay, but
yeah, we're still working on gelling.
Yeah,
as a team, I agree. With a lot, you know, plenty of new key pieces, faces. It's gonna work well, I believe, eventually. And so, definitely, defending was something we need to work on from last season. And so it's good that we've had some reinforcements, if you will. And I definitely want to check out some Chijos Bundesliga.
Me too.
Highlights, because I don't recall seeing much. And I was an avid viewer of Bundes, so could see how he runs, you know, a little bit more.
I've seen him a little bit because Bundesliga used to be on Fox, like FS1, right. But then they changed ESPN Plus. I haven't watched it since.
Yeah. Access to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Chijos, he calmed the entire black back line, and so he kept Kara and Pato under wraps.
And for previewing a little bit, I don't have any like clear cut like opinions yet, but our next match is at DC United on March 12th at 6:30 Central Time. And most, it doesn't say here, but I believe it is on WGN, so you can find it there.
Right, I did see, actually, yeah, I can confirm that seeing the, on the Tron, that the next WGN matchup will be broadcast on the 12th.
And if you're a Orlando City fan, their next match is Sunday, March 13th versus the worst team in the league, FC Cincinnati, at 6:30 Central Time, 7:30 Eastern. So if you are rooting for Orlando City to get some wins, this is one you're going to love, because FC Cincinnati, horrific. So in theory, Orlando City, they won their first opener. So in theory, they could have seven points after three games, which is pretty good.
That's right.
They could pull it off. Which they should. Cincinnati is so bad.
They were good a couple of years ago.
I guess. I don't know when they've been good. Ever since I've been watching MLS like on the regular, they have not been good.
Yeah. Yeah, Columbus Crew is definitely the better.
Oh, yeah. That's the Ohio team.
Ohio, the other Ohio team. Well, that's
I mean, they won the championship 2 years ago, so currently yeah, they're right. A lot better.
That was actually a really good match. I enjoyed.
It's against Portland or Seattle?
I believe that one was Seattle.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah, and then last year's was Portland.
Oh yeah, that was the Portland. Who was? Oh, New York City. There we go.
Yeah, it's so funny. Then we say like, oh, you know, it could have been the Fire, but like you compare it to the Red Stars versus the Portland Thorns.
Yeah.
FC. That was the final last year, so it could have been us.
But this year, maybe.
This year. Yeah, better chances.
So, thank you for listening for our Chicago Fire and talk for episode 94. This concludes it. And stay tuned throughout the week on social media. We might have some topics about the Fire. Any breaking news that comes about, we'll let you know for sure.
That's right. Yeah, and coming up next, Bulls Talk.
Hey, Bullhawk Sports Show fans, we're back We are beginning now with our Chicago Bulls coverage. We're recapping their final three games versus Heat, Hawks, and Bucks. DJ Bennett Bull is now going to take the lead on your Chicago Bulls starting lineup.
Against the Heat, so starting with that. A 6'6 guard from USC, number 11, DeMar DeRozan. A 6'5 forward from Radford, number 24, Javante Green, the man in the middle. A 6'11 center from USC by way of Montenegro, Nikola Vucevic. And from Chicago, head guard number 12, Ayo Dosunmu. And from UCLA, a 6'5 guard, number 8, Zach LaVine.
All right, get pumped. Time to get power crazy. It's your Miami Heat starting five. We're going to begin right now. First, number 22, former Bull, Jimmy Butler. Next, number 17, he's been everywhere, PJ Tucker. Next, man of the middle, number 13, multiple time All-Star,
Mr. Skills Challenge.
Yes, that is right. Bam Adebayo. Next, I don't really know anything about him, but number 2, shooting guard, Gabe Vincent. And finally, point guard, number 55, Duncan Robinson.
That's the starting lineup for your Heat. As we're on the road. Actually, I overheard as I was on my way here on the radio. It's the way that they introduced their home guys. So it was kind of odd.
It wasn't as good.
The way they, you know, yeah, they didn't do the full-on thing that Chicago does. And when they got to Jimmy Butler, they were like, Jim, me, Butler.
Oh, it sounds like, good.
Yeah, so it's the guy. You know, that's the way they do it.
And now for the action. This was an important game for the Bulls. The Bulls have had kind of a talking point lately about them that they can only beat middle of the road and bad teams. They can't beat playoff bound teams. They're looking to beat best team in the East, the Heat, to change that narrative. But DJ Bennie Bull has some comments on why that didn't happen.
That's right. Yeah, we're very slow off the, you know, off the bat. We're outmatched by, you know, Butler, despite them being a, you know, playing small. Of course, since they have, you know, a lot of awesome guards there. But at the same time, you could argue that they're not, like, as well balanced as we are, but they definitely have good on offense, especially the improvements of shooting. You wouldn't ask for too much from, you know, to run like the offense with Bam Adebayo being, you know, your center, but he's greatly improved, of course, which is why we exclaimed Skills Challenge champion. And Duncan Robinson, as well as Tyler Herro, has really come up. They've been some the bright spots for them. They're carrying that over from last season, very successful, which is why they are number one, you know, as of the 20th February. So yeah, they're definitely up for the challenge. Former Bull Max Strus also shocked us as well.
Yes,
his offensive
number 31. Genius. From DePaul, Max Strus was too explosive. He had 13 points, off the bench more than he ever had with the Bulls. And this is not Max Strus's first game that he's been good. He's actually had some good games for the Heat off the bench this year. He's been a good addition to their bench. And overall, the Heat had a very small lineup, like we mentioned, but that didn't really matter. They still were able to pick and pop and do a variety of rotations. They were able to counteract the Bulls.
They saved their big guys. Dwayne Dedman, if you consider him very big.
He's big, yeah.
Yeah, he is. And also PJ Tucker is starting with them. They don't want to be too towering with who they got. So yeah, I believe there's another guy. I'm not sure if it was Kyle or
he's small.
Or Caleb. They were.
I think Caleb Martin's pretty there.
So yeah, they definitely brought him in at the right time, and he was all right up, and had some good minutes to scoring 9. And they just all are very good, rebounding team, which is why I believe they're able to get some second chance scoring opportunities. Something that we had to work on, especially as you heard, Amin and as well as
Stacey
King mentioned, that we have made some improvements, something that we needed to do, and one of our weaker sides of our team. And so yeah, we went up against that sort of team that had that over on us, so which is why it was not a blowout, as they would want to say, but it was definitely one. They basically matched us really well with what they had.
It wasn't a blowout. We only lost 112-99, but it felt a lot bigger of a scoreline than it was, because the Heat did put in their reserves towards the end, so this final score is a little bit closer than it felt like most of the game.
That's right. Speaking of big guys, we have to mention the debut of the man, the myth, the legend, by virtue of his NBA championship victory, coming from a championship pedigree of the Cleveland Cavaliers fame, Tristan Thompson. He made his debut as the aforementioned, which we face once again, which CJ Hawk says we face them ad nauseum. We face them all the time. The Atlanta Hawks.
Yep.
The last game, the Bulls faced the Hawks.
And they won, actually.
And they won successfully. Success for his debut, Tristan Thompson. He finally made his debut at that game. Brand new, still trying to mesh with this team. He's someone that we needed for a long time. I believe we slipped his name or maybe by the time we were kind of sliding off of our Bulls coverage, getting a chance to really dive into him more. But he has been he's been all right for us. I believe he's slowly gelling. I know they're pushing for him because we needed some size, someone big, someone that back up Vooch in the center lineup. And so we got him, a good power forward center. Also, CJ Hawk mentioned, really reliable off the bench, especially these times. A player that needed somewhere to go. He was a perfect fit for us. If you compare it to Jeremy Grant, he's someone that can...
Poor man is Jeremy Grant, yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, yeah, an excellent rebounder.
That's our Heat game coverage. We lost 112-99. Now we transition to our game on Thursday, March 3rd.
Rematch.
With the Hawks.
It's time.
In Atlanta, Phillips Arena.
Yeah.
And...
yeah. Once again, on the road, we talk about a tough schedule. We're told this was... the Bulls, they have the second most difficult schedule.
Yep.
Of this second half post All-Star break, with the Bucks, our big rival next door, having the number one most difficult schedule ahead, as we saw during the weekend.
You say that, but the Bucks beat the Suns. So.
That's right.
They beat them.
Yeah, talk about championship pedigrees. They're bringing that this year too.
I mean, granted, Chris Paul didn't play, but still, they beat
him. That's right. Yeah, he's gonna be up for a while. Right? They said months or weeks.
I think it's like 6 to 8 weeks, I think.
Weeks, right?
Yeah. Which could be months.
Right. That's about, you know, 2 months.
Yeah.
To be up, which, well,
a little
counting,
bit more than a month.
Less,
yeah.
Less than that now. So yeah, once again, we're on the road and we're facing the good old Hawks. We begin with the starting lineup for your Hawks at Phillips Arena. We have a power forward, number 12, DeAndre Hunter, at small forward, number 8, Danilo Gallinari.
Italian sensation.
That's right. At center, number 15, another sensation, Clint Capella. And then shooting guard, number 3, Kevin Huerter.
The whitest man in the league. No, I don't know.
Hawks, Hawks saying his quote at the time. And a point guard, number 11, Trey Young.
And now for your Bulls starting five. First, from USC, number 11, power forward, DeMar DeRozan. From Radford, number 24, small forward, Javante Green. From USC, / Montrego, the man in the middle, Nikola Vucevic. From Chicago, number 12, and also from Illinois, too, University of Illinois, point guard, Ayo Dosunmu. Finally, from UCLA, number 8, shooting guard, Zach LaVine.
That's right. You mentioned Ayo, point guard, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's funny because they've been putting Zach last, as if it was in that the right order.
Right.
When it's announced, too. So, you would think that he would be, but like, yeah, it could be interchangeable, especially in the forward position. So, yeah. This proves, like, how important we have Green in a lineup. He's been excellent and constantly improving. We say that there's like 5 Javante Greens out there. That's what it is, because we don't have Caruso for now. You know, should be coming back soon. Talk about perimeter defense. We've been hearing that more recently, which is what we'll need to do with a young and no pun intended, young and well-rounded team in the Hawks. They're also very quick as well.
Yeah.
So it's something that we need to play with. And yeah, I've noticed that how we slow down without, you know, our key players. Lonzo Ball definitely is one. Just like, you know, excellent passing and something that's been missing from us. And yeah, I can always blame injuries and all that, but we, you know, we work with what we got. They say the next man up mentality, which is what we've done.
Yeah, the Bulls scored plenty. 124 is plenty of points to score to reasonably get a W. But Trae Young was sensational, 39 points, 13 assists. And he did much more than that as well. Heavily involved in the offense, led his team to a important victory for them. And they had some good kind of Trevisan's off the bench. Bogdan Bogdanovic with 20 points. Gorgie Dane, DeLon Wright, Lou Williams all scoring around 10 total. And they had some help from Hunter, Kevin Herter. And the Bulls, the main reason why they lost this game, you can sum it up in one word, according to Adam Lamine, Stacey King, they couldn't stop Trae Young from shooting threes. Trae Young made a ton of threes in this game late that shot the Bulls' chances and caused them to fall. And I don't know. I mean, we had some good performances. Zach LaVine, DeMar both 22 points. Nikola 21, but we just couldn't stop the three.
Yeah.
And couldn't stop some of the other guys, and we lost.
You could easily say that this was very evenly distributed. This is the usual Bulls. If you just look at the score sheet, like oh whoa, everyone kind of shined. You know, they should have won, didn't they?
Nope.
It's like oh, but like you know, that's what happens when we go against like a good offensive team, like the Hawks. So you could argue that their defense is not as good as we would have, but yeah, like definitely need to step it up. Tristan Thompson was decent as well, coming in off the bench, being our center, scoring 8. There's some like you know explosive moments we can save later on, but yeah, definitely still feel like he's just getting ready, getting warmed up. So
I don't know, just disheartening loss. That's right. Considering we just beat them a few games ago.
That's right.
But
and we should be beating a team like this. And
I don't know, I mean, I don't want to like cry wolf or like, oh no, we're gonna make it out not in the playoffs. But I'm starting to get a little concerned based on the past performances. We've hanged in there in some of these games, losing by only a few points here and there, but we need to pick up wins soon. Because once we get the guys back with Caruso and Lonzo Ball, we'll have more reinforcements.
Yeah, Pat Williams.
Yeah, Pat Williams. But if we still are losing all these games, even with them, that would be bad. But hopefully we can turn around soon.
I believe we can.
I think so.
Go hard, you know. We're not the type that has like a super huge roster where it's like, you know, that's the thing about the NBA too, that not everyone's has like the same number, you know, backup, like just options, you know. So we got what we got, which is very good.
All right, time to transition to the final game we'll discuss from Friday, March 4th, at home at the Knight Center.
We're back.
The Milwaukee Bucks versus the Bulls.
All right.
Yeah, I'll take the Bucks. So for the Bucks starting five, we have the Greek Freak, the sensation, one of the best players in all of the NBA, or 34, at power forward, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Next, multiple-time All-Star, number 22, small forward,
excellent.
Chris Middleton.
Excellent 3 points.
Next, number 9, former Bull from the University of Arkansas,
BP
center, Bobby Portis.
Junior.
Yeah, sure, junior.
Yeah, he displays that on his jersey now.
Next, shooting guard, the most hated man in the league, from Duke, number 7, Grayson Allen. And finally, a player like far more than Grayson Allen, point guard number 21, Drew Holiday.
Yes, sportsman.
From UCLA.
NBA Sportsman of the Year. He would not dare do things like that. And we have to say, don't want to get it too ahead, but every time Allen had the ball, the UC roared with lots of booze.
Oh, I thought it was cheering, like
yeah,
cheering somewhere in the middle. And now, here's your starting lineup for your Chicago Bulls. A 6'6 guard playing the power forward position from USC. Number 11, DeMar Vilas DeRozan. Here, as you say, he's small, and then at small forward, changes to the lineup from USC by way of Montenegro. Number 9, Nikola Vucevic, and the man in the middle. Number 3, former Cav, Valer Tristan Thompson. A point guard from Chicago, number 12, Ayo Dosunmu. And from UCLA, a 6'5 guard, number 8, Zach LaVine. Into the action.
Yep, and we watched this one live. We saw some of it on TV, and this was also an ESPN game too. We watched it on NBC Sports Chicago, but you could watch it on ESPN if you wanted to. And this was a rematch of a couple, like over a month ago, the game when the Bulls lost, but when Grayson Allen, dirty play on Alex Caruso,
yeah,
who has not played since.
First and coming.
That's why the fans were ready to boo him mercilessly.
That's right. We can jump straight ahead to the moment when we sort of got our revenge.
It's true.
Because Derek DJ Jones Jr. was almost sliding and hit, you know, his hips.
Yes, yeah,
he still got called for what would not be a technical foul, but a flagrant 1 foul. Which we knew it wasn't going to be, you know, something intense, you know, number 2. The same level that he was. Actually, both Amin and King were cheering for that. Like, and like kind of encouraging him. It was like, oh, maybe not, like, be hostile, but, like, you know, definitely, you know, you could have went hard. And, you know, eye for an eye could easily do that because especially the way they act and... You know, it's basketball, right? So, like, you know, be a pro, but at the same time, you know, it is basketball, too. So, you definitely, you know, get them with that. So, DJ, it was called for. He still continued to play after that, so that was nice, the timing of it. I got to give credit to Allen. He was shooting the threes, you know, nonstop. You know, defense and whatnot sort of got us.
Bulls actually had the lead after 3 quarters. We did have the lead on the Bucks.
Yeah, 8 points. At the max, we got up to 10.
And some of our good performances were DeMar, Levis Ferozian with 29, Zach Levine of 30, Vooch of 19. But that was about it. No one else really did anything.
Yeah.
But
Javante Green hit some good threes, and we got to get to this moment too, where he explosive dunks. He, along with DJ, hit some really explosive dunks, along with Zach LaVine as well. They're able to get some steals, and also to this one where we had Derek Jones Jr. going up against the biggest player on the entire court at the UC.
Great to know.
He was able to channel his inner Superman Howard, and he went for his signature dunk contest abilities to dunk over Giannis Antetokounmpo.
And he did somehow.
Yes, he glided. It was one of those, it's like he went forward, like I said, how Superman would do, and he almost he actually did fall afterwards, but it wasn't a hard fall, thank goodness. But yeah, he was able to do that, and I believe we're gaining some good momentum, and
we were
possibly there, but like, you know, we're definitely outmatched with a amazing, well-rounded team in the Bucks.
If you can point to reasons why we lost, I'd probably say the play of Drew Holiday late, because Giannis actually did miss free throws, a lot of them in the game.
Yeah, surprisingly.
But he made the ones late, and Drew Holiday had some key threes, key shots around the court that were able to neutralize the Bulls.
Yeah.
And
Chris, why is he so good? Middleton also hit some.
It's a good shots too.
So good mid-range and threes that surprised us. Well, shouldn't be surprised with that.
But no, yeah,
he's very good with that. He's another one of the amazing mid-range slashers, like DeRozan.
But in the end, the Bulls couldn't stop the Bucks. They couldn't score, and our lead evaporated, and we allowed almost 40 points in the fourth quarter, which was too much.
Yeah.
And we lost 118-112 to extend our losing streak to 4 games.
Yeah, you probably would need to have like you match up like Drew Holiday and Io. Of course, it's not like even
mismatch.
But, like, he's definitely very Io's very good, just not at that level. I believe if we wanted to win, we definitely need Io to step up. He was definitely out there for third longest,
you say,
35 minutes, while DeRozan was out there, 39, and then 38, Zach LaVine. But I believe we needed all of our, all of our starters to really
score
better, because that's how you take a look at Drew Holiday, 26, and then basically almost everyone was able to score really well for the Bucks, Bobby Portis included.
And to conclude, there was in the post game a talk about Billy Donovan. He talked about why he decided to use Thompson and Vooch in a new starting lineup. And did it work? I mean, it helped a little, but
some
I don't know. To be honest, I might be tempted to put Green back and then put Thompson back on the bench.
Right. Maybe this wasn't the game to experiment.
I don't know, because, I mean, Thompson's a big man, but I don't know why they put Thompson at center. I would have put Vooch at center and Thompson, like, at power forward.
Yeah, you might have confused Vooch. I mean, I guess it was even better because he scored.
Yeah.
But even better,
more.
But at the same time, it's like, you're missing the defense, which is what allowed them to get this over on us. It's like, we allowed those points over us for too long.
It was funny. At the time, I remember, I was like, we need a guy who can be like a jock.
It's not afraid. Jocko Green.
We need a Jocko Pirtle, like a guy in the paint who can score, like a paint bruiser. And we got that at Thompson, but they subbed out Green for Thompson. And the one thing I noticed was that Thompson can't shoot the three.
That's right.
Unlike Green, who can to an extent.
That is funny, because Green did get more minutes, 24 compared to 20.
And I'd rather have Green start, just because he's like a jackknife, like a jack of all trades. He can do everything.
Yeah, he's not afraid to go up against the big guys.
I don't know.
Successfully, like, steal and dunk and everything.
We sadly couldn't win.
Yeah. Yeah, take a look, too. I know the stats don't want to say, but, like, he had 9.
Right.
Thompson with 4. But I guess, also say that with minutes. But, like, that's actually even more. It's funny because they have end up with the same defense, rebounds, and assists as well. Tribune with that 3-1. Yes.
So 118-112 loss. Now transitioning to a preview. Bulls take on the Sixers at Wells Fargo Arena Monday, March 7th.
Mundane.
6 p.m. Central Time.
That's tonight.
And this one, Bulls at least got to perform at a good level, because a 5-game losing streak is going to be bad. I know the Sixers are one of the best teams in the league, and they're ahead of us in the standings. So if the Bulls lose, some people might be like, they were supposed to. But still, I want us to perform and at least try to get this W.
Right.
I mean, the positive is the game after this is against the Woeful Pistons, so maybe we can pick up a win for that one. But
the Woeful.
I mean, because we true. Have a stretch of games that are winnable,
Katie
but
Cunningham.
Then immediately switches back. So we have, after the Sixers, we have Pistons, Cavs, Kings, who we could in theory win those three in a row. But then we have tougher ones on the road against Jazz, Suns, Bucks later on. So
yeah, Raptors have... Yeah. We had some wins over us, too.
Yeah.
So we haven't beaten them since the beginning of the season.
But DJ Benny the Bull is right. Our schedule is pretty difficult. There's only a few teams out here that I would say are, like, wins on paper.
Oh,
Like, Pistons, Kings, Knicks, Wizards.
Pelicans.
Pelicans, to extent, yeah.
Yeah,
to extent. Clippers, I think we beat them. Timberwolves, Hornets, but a lot of these teams are not easy wins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Pelicans is it with Valanciunas.
Yeah.
He's now on there, too, so.
I mean, the Pelicans will be in the play-in game right now if it's dark.
Right, yeah.
But we should be beating those teams.
You don't sleep on that. So.
There's an article here from a few minutes ago, actually, about Vucevic's status for Bulls 76ers
game. Oh,
right,
that's right. I did hear yesterday, Sunday, that he is questionable.
Yeah, this is questionable for Monday's game. If he does not play, we'll probably lose. So hopefully he does.
Yeah, it's kind of weird with that. But then again, you'll have no choice. You'll start
Thompson. I mean, I guess you could do Thompson and then Green. At
yeah, that would actually be good. I believe they
know.
I believe they can work well together. I mean, that's the hope. Like, I could see them definitely. Because, you know, Thompson, you know, is hyped up as a good passer.
Sure.
As well. Green is also a good one, but I believe he also has had, you know, some mistakes in, you know, but he's a very good perimeter, like, three-point shooter, so that'll definitely help. I hope that Thompson will be able to pass, you know, to him well at center, you know, taking Vooch's role, if you will. All of this we're saying with Vooch is being questionable is due to a hamstring injury that he suffered, and so he is a possibility. I know that they'll probably want to rest him at least. You know, he can come out the bench or so, but we will have to see coming up in a few hours, less than 4 hours away. This is one of the earliest games that we've seen from the Bulls. And so we're ready to win after a 4-game losing streak. We need to get back into the winner's circle.
And that concludes our discussions and topics for episode 94. We are inching closer to 100. We're getting there soon. It's going to be explosive, magical.
Ready to make some announcements during the next episode, which we, as we speak, we will make some concrete plans to celebrate when we get to 100.
And stay tuned for some more fantastic guests that we will be having soon.
Wink, wink.